Well, over the last couple of weeks, I'm hoping to land this plane of, last couple of weeks we've been going over how followers fish, and I hope to land the plane here today. And, the topic has been over Matthew 4:19, where Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And as Matt said, when you go to heaven, there's one thing you'll never get to do again. And that is to tell somebody about Jesus. So we've been diving deep on how to do this. And, for Christians, it's probably the hardest thing that we do is to go and tell somebody about Jesus. I mean, we come up with many other things. Oh, that's not my talent. That's, I can go change diapers in the nursery. I can do that. Have you seen what they do in those diapers? I mean, they go all the way up the back sometimes. NASA and the Army need to check into this because it's like nuclear fallout. Where it may be easier to take them down to the car wash, hose them down, than spend a whole bag of baby wipes on them. I know. But we think that we can do those things better than going and sharing the gospel with somebody. And really all it boils down to is that we overcomplicate things. We just make it harder than it is. So, we have a class on Wednesday night. And, tips for sharing the gospel. Conversation starters. Three elements to a basic testimony. Be sure to tell your testimony, basically your life story, in under 2 minutes. Okay, let me see here. I was bad. That's not good. I found Jesus. Now I'm good. It's about all the time you have before you're tuned out and people have moved on. Well, then we talk about your gospel presentation. And I realize that I have somebody else's sheet here because this isn't my handwriting. So if you've lost your notes, come see me. I happen to have them. we have a presentation, and when I think of a presentation, I think of a computer and a PowerPoint slides, and I don't usually have that with me everywhere I go. So we got to memorize some verses, and we go, some verses that are the Romans Road, and we go from this verse over to this verse and back to this verse and then that verse, and hey, here's some more bonus verses for you to remember. And I'm just sitting here thinking, okay, more to remember. Reminders for talking with friends about the gospel. Anything that goes in here now, something else has got to come back out. I'm at capacity. The older I get, the less I can remember. And the harder it is for me to remember. And there's a lot of these similarities between fishing for fish and fishing for people. And on both of them, we just horribly complicate it. So like when we go fishing, some of you may know I worked in the corporate world before I started here at the church. And my job was with one of the local fishing boat companies. So I kind of knew a little bit about fishing. And one of my main jobs was, or my job was in product development. One of the main things we had to do was research what the consumers wanted in their boats. And my goodness, you would be shocked at what people have to be able to go fishing. I mean, there's different species of fish, so you need a different boat for each species, and different lengths for each boat, and different widths for each, and different horsepower ratings for each boat, and how many live wells, how many gallons of capacity of live wells, where do they want to store their rods? They want it in the side, they want it in the middle, they want it in the floor. The sonar equipment that goes, or the fish finding equipment that goes into these boats is unbelievable. I mean, I'd go do research, I see these guys have their boats all decked out, and they've got these Samsung big screen TVs sitting right in front of them on their steering wheel, and I'm like, you're going to crash before you even get to a fish because you can't see. But they're in color, and apparently they will tell you exactly where the fish are, and you can practically say, I'm going to get that one right there, and you can just go and you can fish. And we need all this complicated equipment. That's just the boat. Never mind the rig you need to pull this thing. And before it's all said and done, you got $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 wrapped up into a boat. And you still need a truck to pull it. Then you need your gear. You need fishing rods and reels and lures. I mean, these lures are crazy. Different colors. You got crawdads. You got or lures that are like a crawdad, like a frog, like a dead fish, like a wounded fish. They're different colors. They're shiny. They rattle. They dive. I mean, wow. Complicated. And different colors for different waters and different fish at different times a day. And the fish are only biting certain times a day. Wow. That's complicated. I remember going fishing. I had a pole, a hook, and a worm. And I caught fish. I didn't have a $50,000 boat. Sometimes people feel like they have to have a $50,000 boat to go fishing. I even, when you you do basic fishing like that, I mean, I saw, you know, guys just sitting on the docks, reel in a monster, and you ask them, what kind of bait did you use? Hot dog. It's that easy. They want something stinky. That's really all it boils down to. You throw in the line with your hot dog on it, your dog's probably chasing it after it. You know, he wants to have it too. But even still, on the basic fishing, we can overcomplicate that too. I had a friend in college. We went out to the lake, and we went fishing. And, of course, we don't have a boat. We're fishing on the shore. And for some reason, he gets this bright idea that the big fish are out in the middle of the lake, and we don't have a boat. So he decides, he props up his rod and his reel. He clicks it. He takes his bait. He swims all the way out into the middle of the lake, drops his bait, and swims back. And he's ready to fish, thinking that was the best possible way to do this. He didn't catch anything. But see, even when it's simple like that, we overcomplicate it. And today I brought to overemphasize our complication, I brought my handy-dandy study Bible. Yeah, you look at that thing. My goodness, is it thick. There's a lot going on in here. I mean, there's been times, and these pages are so thin, and it's still a massively thick book. I'll be reading along, and I'll turn the page, and I'll keep reading, and about halfway through that page, I'm like, okay, that doesn't make any sense. That's not jiving with what I said before. And I'll flip back and I was like, oh, I turned three pages at one time because they clung together. And it's just, it's a little bit overwhelming to think that we've got to know all this. We got to know who begot who, the lineage all the way from Abraham to David, then from David to Jesus, because, I mean, we got to know how Jesus got here, right? We got to know how many cubits there was in the original temple or the Ark of the Covenant, or did they really store the Ark of the Covenant in a warehouse like they showed on Indiana Jones? Why did Jesus change Simon's name to Peter? And then sometimes he's still called Simon Peter, or Paul, who was Saul, not to be confused with King Saul in the Old Testament. And it's not 2 Corinthians, it's 2 Corinthians. I don't know. We horribly, horribly overcomplicate, and we think that we got to know all that before we can share the gospel with somebody. But today, I want to make it extraordinarily easy on you. I mean, it's going to be so easy that you're going to kind of be going, no, it's not that easy. Oh, yes, it is. It is this easy. So there's just basically 2 questions you got to ask. What do you got to know? What do you got to do? And before I dive into that, before I show you how easy it is, there's a couple things I want to explain first. I want to explain what a Christian is not. Okay, you ready for this? Some of this may surprise you. A Christian sitting in the pews every Sunday, or a person sitting in the pews every Sunday, just like this, doesn't make you a Christian. Sorry. Coming every Sunday, hearing a weird guy drone on and on and on about crazy things doesn't make you a Christian. All of a sudden having your, you know, life together doesn't make you a Christian. You know, the one that got me was praying a prayer doesn't make you a Christian. We've all been led to believe that you got to pray this prayer and you're a Christian. But nowhere in the Bible is there this prayer, this specific prayer that you're supposed to pray. There's the Lord's Prayer, but there's no prayer of salvation. And we're going to, don't walk out on me on that. I'm going to explain it here in just a second. But first, I want to tell you a story. So when I was a kid, I loved to watch baseball. Where I grew up, baseball came on Friday, Saturday nights. And, you know, this, we didn't have cable or satellite. I don't even know if it was invented then. But we had antenna. And we would, get our sleeping bags and blankets all parked in front of the TV. We're going to watch some baseball. And every baseball game, there was this person that probably bought the most expensive ticket in the ballpark, right behind home plate. Perfect line of sight of the camera. They always had this big sign. And on that big sign, they had handwritten on there. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Here, I got a picture. Chris, can you throw that up? You recognize what that says? John 3:16. How many here have heard of John 3:16? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, even if you don't ever come to church, you probably have heard of John 3:16 just because you watched a baseball game, right? I mean, John 3:16 is the most famous verse in the Bible. I mean, hands down. You want to know why? Because in one verse, it takes all of that and sums it up. Every bit of it. Everything you need to know about salvation is found in that one verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For those who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. First verse I ever memorized. And I'll be honest with you, it's one of the only ones I've ever memorized. But thank goodness it's the only one that's the most important. Not that the others aren't, don't get me wrong. But that right there says it all. And here in just a second, we're going to break down this verse. So Thursday, you know, we got the emails. Pastor Matt's in the hospital. I was like, oh my goodness, how do you perforate a colon? And we're just awful. We're thinking that's got to be terrible. So, you know, obviously our prayers are with him. We're thinking about him. And sure enough, after those thoughts enter the mind, the second thought is, and I'm sure many of you thought this, as I can tell by the attendance. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Who's going to preach? And so you're like, there's plenty of people, you know, that can preach. We'll figure it out, right? Well, not long after that, Andrea comes in, strolling in the office. Oh, did you see the emails? Yeah, it's crazy. It's terrible, isn't it? And then she goes, are you ready? Like, for what? Oh, you know. You better get ready. It's like, okay, I'll get ready, even though it may not be me. I'll go ahead and start playing. She goes, hey, I got an idea. I know this guy. He's got this series. It's pretty similar to this. His name's Andy. You should check him out. He's really good. I'm like, okay, I'll see who this Andy guy is. And, you know, he's really good. I'm surprised he's not more popular than what he is. I mean, it was awesome. So what Andy did, and for copyright infringements, and I won't get sued, I went ahead and disclosed who it was. But I would like to take what he did with this verse and how he broke it down. It was great. So he takes John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For those who believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So he breaks it down. He says, for God so loved. We're going to highlight God in loved. Who did God love? The world. Not just good people. Not just people that go to church. Not just people that act like they're doing good. Or people that act like they have it together. The world. In the world, there's a lot of bad, 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 bad people. Bad people. You don't have to go very far to see where all the bad people are. In the news, we are inundated with bad people. Here's what it doesn't say. For God so hated the world. Or God was so ticked off at the world that he sent his only begotten son. It doesn't say that. For God so loved the world. He loves everybody. So God loved. Then it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So we highlight gave. When it's basically you give. It's free. If he would have said, I'm going to give you this for that, you pay me, that's called for sale. I'm going to sell this to you. For I'm going to give you this and you give me your car or something else in equal value, that's called a trade. So I give you my son. You don't have to do anything for it. He's just graciously giving it to you. So God loved, God gave. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For those who believe in him, believes in this Andy guy, man, he's good. He takes these two words and he says, when you combine these words together, there's some kind of grammatical structure with it that in the Greek, another way of saying it is trust in. And he did this really cool analogy. He takes his chair. He says, let's just say that's Jesus. And when we trust in something, we don't do this, oh, give me, I need, I want. That's not trust. It's not trust. We don't go, hey, look at this. Check this out. This is awesome. You got to see this. You got to hear this. That's not trust. Trust is you put all your weight into it. You sit on it. You give everything you got on it because you trust that that's going to hold you up. That's going to carry you. It's going to take you through all your difficult times, all your easy times, the hard times. But you trust that this chair is going to support you and carry you. Now, some of us, we kind of trust like this. Kind of not too sure about it. Kind of maybe ease our way in. Thank you, Donnie. You know somebody like that? When it's our neighbor, isn't it? I'm teasing. Sorry. Anyways, so we trust in, we believe in, we put everything we've got into it. We know it's not going to let us down. It's going to hold us up. It's going to carry us through. So God love, God gave, we believe or trust in, and through that, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But those who believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life or everlasting life. You know, this eternal life that he's talking about here, it's not so much about being able to live forever. It's more that you will live forever. It's just a matter of where. It's kind of a scary thought. I know the older I get, the more I think, man, I wonder what that's like when I die. It's not something you really want to think about too much. But it's going to happen. You know, and I felt bad for Kenny Howe here in first service. Because we see what happens when we die. We get makeup put on us. We're put in a very elaborate box. And close the lid and put us in the ground and we are a memory. And that's where we go. But according to this verse, there's a whole lot more to that. If we just trust in Jesus, we will have eternal life with him in a perfect place, with a perfect God, where there's no pain, no sorrow, no bad, no nothing with him. I mean, you know, we know there's got to be something more than just this. The lights go out and we're done. It's not like that. Because, I mean, there's some people don't even make it out of the womb. So how fair is that? There's got to be something more than just this. And God, if he made us in his image and he put his thumbprint on us, on our lives, I can guarantee you there's something much bigger than this after this. And it is eternal life through our Christ, our Lord and Savior. So God loved, God gave, we believe, and we receive eternal life. This Andy guy, he had a cool way to put it. He made a rhyme. God loved, God gave, we believe, we receive. Isn't that cool? It's that easy. It is that easy. It's no more complicated than that. You know, what this verse, when you really start to boil it down, what it means is we don't need to commit. God is committed to us. We don't have to promise. Because I guarantee you, you will break that promise. I don't know how many times I've said, oh, I'm going to do better, I promise. Or I'm going to read my Bible, or I'm not going to do that again, or whatever it is. And every time, I break that promise. But God does not break his promise. Thank you, Jesus. He doesn't break that promise. And he doesn't expect anything from us, because it's a gift from him. Nothing from us. So the Bible, or the, you know, the gospel, it is so easy. It's hard. We make it hard. And so we're kind of like, well, then why didn't God just stamp John 3:16 on a postcard and say, here you go. That's all you need to know. Well, yeah, you could do that. But we would lose out on God's story, our story, God's continual redemptive work of how he loves us more than anything else, and how we continue to just turn our back on him, but he keeps asking us to come back. He keeps finding a way to turn us around. And all through this, it is one big buildup to his son, who's going to come and save us. So yeah, there's a lot to read about in that. But when you boil it all down, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For if you believe or trust in him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. So I end with this story. A couple Christmases ago, we were on the hunt for the perfect Christmas gift. All right, had to get it. It's probably for him. And so Heather finds it, and unfortunately, it's the only place that has it. It's out on in West Springfield at the West Springfield Walmart. So we load up in the car, and we head out, and you got to take I-44. And every time I go on to I-44, I like to say a little prayer, because either there's a rig overturned or some car has caught on fire. And so I like to say a little prayer of, hey, get us there, make sure we don't get crushed or spontaneously combust, because I don't know how cars just burn down. So we're praying, but for some reason, while I'm praying, I decide, you know, God, if there's somebody you need me to talk to today, or you want me to talk to today, will you make it abundantly clear? I mean, 2x4 to the head clear, that I need to talk to that person, and you've got to tell me what to say, because I know I'm not going to get it right. Weird things. Heather said the same prayer. I didn't know it. We didn't know each other had said the same prayer. So we get to Springfield, and you got to get in the turning lane, and you got to drive through this funny little driveway to finally get to the parking lot. And as we're driving into that little funny driveway, there's a lady standing there with a sign. Now, I've seen John Stossel on 2020 and the scam reports, and a lot of times these people, you know, they've dressed up, or, you know, they've got a sign that they're really not homeless, or, you know, he dressed up and he got $100 or a couple hundred dollars in a matter of a couple hours, and then he just changed the sign to say, I just want your money. And people still gave him money, okay? Well, so I'm pretty leery about people with their signs, because you just don't really know if they're legit or not. Well, this lady, man, she was legit. You could just see it. And, you know, driving by, and it's like, oh my. Interesting. So we pull in. We park. We get out. And Heather and I, we're both like, did you see the lady? Yeah. Should we do something? Yeah, let's do something. What do we do? I don't know. Let's go in. Let's find this toy. We'll think about it. So we go in. We find the gotta have toy. We get it. And so then we're like, how about this? How about we get some food? Who doesn't need food? And maybe today is our day. We can feed her and maybe say something really nice to her and encourage her, tell her about Jesus, right? So we go to the deli, and you would have thought that we were getting Thanksgiving dinner for about 15 people. That's how much we loaded into that cart. And we finally, like, gut-checked ourselves, okay, this food's going to go bad long before she can eat it all. And how's she going to get it home or wherever she lives? Okay, so let's be realistic. So we get her quite a bit of food still, and we go pay. We get in the car, and we're heading out, and we're driving out, and she's not there. We're like, oh, where'd she go? And so we kind of look at each other and laugh, and I go, I guess we're having fried chicken and lemonade for dinner tonight, huh? So, okay, well, we tried, right? We tried. And so we're pulling out onto the main road, and we're driving off, and we're like, there she is. She's moved out to the main road, but she's over there on the other side, so I got to drive all the way down to the next light, do a U-turn, which is probably illegal, and I'm going to get a ticket for this. Come back down, and we come back down, and we get caught in the turning lane where she's standing, okay? And she's a couple cars up, and I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? I got to get all this food out to her, and I still want to say something to her. What am I going to say? You know, I'm going to back up traffic. People are going to be honking at me. okay, we can do this. Let's go here. So light turns green. We're going. I pull up, hit the brakes. Everybody's got to stop at the green light. I roll down the window. It's like, hi, how are you? How you doing? You know, and I get all the food to her and I'm just like, ma'am, I just want you to know Jesus loves you. That's all I had. That was everything I had. And all the hustle and bustle, that's all I could get out. It was just like, Jesus loves you. You know what she said to me? I'm still even surprised about this today. It's been a couple years. I say, ma'am, Jesus loves you. You know what she said? She goes, I know. You do? That's great. That's great. So drive off. Got to go. Holding up people. And you know, I sat there and think, well, you should have said this. You should have said that. But you know what? I prayed that God would give me the words to say. And those are the words I said. And I think it's because that's what needed to be said. So if you're here today and you're struggling, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to say. That Bible verse didn't say, you're going to be a fisherman. I'm going to make you a fisherman. Give it to God. Give it to Jesus. Say, Jesus, if that's what you want me to do, I need you in my biggest weakness to do something miraculous. You got to do this for me. I need you to say the words. And it may just be something that simple. Don't overcomplicate it. It's easy. If you're here for the first time or the 10th time and you're hearing this, I just got one thing to tell you. Jesus loves you. Loves you. He just wants you to love him back. That's it. All right? Don't overcomplicate it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for all the people that came. I just pray that in our weakness, you know this is the hardest thing for us to do. I just pray that we will give it to you. It's something that you're going to make with us, that you'll make us fishermen. We just don't miraculously become one. And we give it to you. And we trust in you. We sit and dwell with you. And we understand that you've got us covered. You're going to carry us. That's all we need to know. You're going to take care of it. You're going to help us through that. You're going to line us up with the right person. You're going to make it abundantly clear. You're going to give us the words. And we just keep it simple. If you're here for the first time to hear that, and you just found out that Jesus loves you, come see one of us standing up here. We'd like to talk to you a little bit more about that. Lord Jesus, I have one more thing to say. We love you too. It's in your glorious name that we pray. Amen.